Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
We're coming to the last few months of 2019, and so far, Indonesian stocks have still been relatively flat to the downside. In fact, year-to-date, the Jakarta Composite Index is still about 0.5% in the red. What is the outlook for Indonesian markets heading into 2020, especially since especially with markets expecting the second term of the Widodo administration to gain steam? We are now joined on Across the ASEAN by Mr. Bharat Joshi. He's the investment director for Aberdeen Standard Investments out in Jakarta to help us get a better understanding of what the future holds for the Indonesian economy and markets overall. Mr. Joshi, thank you so much for joining us, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Pleasure.
All right. So, Mr. Joshi, let's talk about these JCI itself. And when you look at it, actually, year to date, it's actually slightly in the red, practically flat, but to the downside. And when I look at the charts, at least, it seems that over the last couple of months, we've seen lower highs and also deeper lows when you look at the charts. This is just me attempting to be an amateur technician at the moment. Is this pretty much as good as it gets for the Jakarta Composite Index?
Sure. You're quite right. I think year to date, the market has actually been languishing behind other markets in the region, and we're still behind the Hang Seng Index, for example, despite what we are hearing on the ground there in Hong Kong. But I think with 2 months remaining, it's very unlikely we're going to see a big pop in the last week or so of the year, and unless the government actually announces a slew of reforms between now and then, that would actually re-rate the market upwards.
Okay, so basically we're stuck around 6179, you think, or maybe give or take 10 to 20 points?
I think it's pretty much where it is, and mainly because as everybody has been digesting the third quarter numbers, there were no major surprises, so I think it's just going to be pretty much where it is.
Well, let's jump to that point, Mr. Joshi, actually. And as we know, Indonesia or the Indonesian markets also recapping or coming to the end of their third quarter earnings season also. Based on what you saw for the companies out there, how do you think how did they fare? And from your standpoint, which sector stood out and which sector do you think underwhelmed when you look across the landscape of Indonesian stocks?
Going into 2019, I was actually quite optimistic, given that it was an election year, and Jokowi was obviously coming on board as a president. So there was going to be a lot of confetti money that's being thrown around. But when I look back, I mean, just looking at the third quarter numbers, the 9 months, it's just literally been grinding for a lot of corporates. So when third quarter results came out, it was actually quite a mixed bag. It just shows the reflections that the economy was still grinding and it was still quite slow. So there were some pockets of growth. So especially in the telco sector, there was a rebound in margins and recovery in revenues. And then in the healthcare space, they showcased very strong performance in the bottom line, in double-digit earnings growth. But, where they were a bit mixed was in the banking sector. I think credit growth was still very sluggish. There was a bit of a pocket of NPLs still coming up to surface. Commodities, coal and plantations were very, very weak. That is basically the backbone of Indonesia's exports. So I think it's just overriding the arch that the 9 months has just been quite a big, relatively a disappointment compared to what investors were initially expecting at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, let's talk about some of these changes, political changes. As we know, President Joko Widodo embarking on his second term also. And based on recent comments, he seems to be taking some inspiration from U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and might seem to seem a bit more serious in trying to deregulate more and initiate some of these deregulating initiatives for the Indonesian economy. Is this a new stance from President Widodo? And how are markets viewing the slant towards deregulation from him? Is this actually seen as generating more opportunities or perhaps creating some more risks given this potential deregulation push?
I think it would be your former. It would be generally more of an opportunity push for the market, and this is what the market is actually looking for. If you remember, President Jokowi's first term was very much build, 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 and he focused a lot more on hard infrastructure. In his second term, he's going to focus a lot more on the softer infrastructure, and this largely is going to be human capital, labor reforms, tax reforms. And I think, you know, he's quite serious to get to work straight away, and you could see this with his cabinet lineup and you know, forming the coalition, which is now a majority of about 75% in parliament, just ensures that, you know, he will get to swift very quickly the policies that he wants to put to work.
And I'm glad you brought up his cabinet, actually, Mr. Joshi. It's very interesting to see this. He did appoint or extend or reappoint the finance secretary, Ms. Indrawati, out there, and also reached out to his political rival, Mr. Prabowo Subianto, and named him the defense minister. When you look at politics or governments around the world, you're seeing a lot of this divergence and polarization among political parties and ruling classes. And in Indonesia's case, it seems that they're reaching out or trying at least to create a coalition. How sincere is this coming together of both President Widodo and his former political rival? And what does this say about, say, how does it strengthen the government's initiatives or attempt to try and push forward some of their new reforms?
Sure. It's quite an interesting question you ask, because, you know, it's very atypical of other countries to actually invite a rival in your cabinet. But in Indonesia, it's a very unique form of a Javanese culture where, you know, they are just, you know, being very polite and, you know, trying to convert, you know, that in politics there are no enemies and everybody is your friend and culture. And that's quite apparent because in the recent race of the presidential election, there was a lot of emotions that was up at stake. And the gap between Prabowo and Jokowi were pretty, very, very narrow. And what I think President Jokowi doesn't want to see in his second and his final term is, you know, a polarization of people. Because given that 50% or slightly less than that actually still voted for Prabowo, you know, he doesn't want to divide the country, and that would actually create a mess in terms of, you know, people on the streets and etc. And literally gridlocks the whole economy, and that's something he doesn't want to see. And I think by inviting him, an ex-general, being a defense minister, sort of like supports him and showcases to Indonesians or the wider community that, we are still friends and we still want to get this economy to work. It was also very good to see the finance minister, you know, a very familiar face, which gives credibility. So we know that our budgets will all be pretty much in line. And you know, but I think, you know, this sort of cabinet just shows that President Jokowi is pushing for stability rather than growth, and ensuring that, you know, he gets a smooth transition of his reforms that he wants to put in place in his second term.
Well, we're still speaking to Mr. Bharat Joshi. He's the investment director for Aberdeen Standard Investments out in Jakarta, to help us get a sense of where Indonesian markets might be heading moving forward. You mentioned that the second term of the Jokowi administration is focusing on some of these soft infrastructure reforms also. When you compare it to the big, hard infrastructure push that they seem to have drummed to markets and to the public in the first term, do you think that these soft infrastructure reforms will actually have a bigger or lesser impact on, say, market sentiment and the economic and economic growth in Indonesia as compared to, say, the first term? Or do you think this is just them seeing that, hey, we need to make these reforms now or else we'll never get them done?
I think it's quite true. I think you know, if anybody could do it, it has to be on Jokowi's clock. And I think given his first term in terms of execution, the hard reforms, and we are definitely seeing or being a beneficiary of that, of those reforms. Given you know, logistic costs has been dropping in the first 5 years ever since we have had infrastructure been put in place. And I think this softer reforms, you need somebody, you know, quite hard knock on like a President Jokowi to just get it done. And it's just now or never, because if we continue to defer these reforms, we're going to lose our competitive edge to other markets which are now rising in the region. For example, Vietnam, Philippines, Thailand and Malaysia. And capital is very limited today.
Mm-hmm. let's take a return to how markets are moving at the moment, Mr. Joshi. And one thing I noticed when I looked at some of the fund flows into Indonesia, especially foreign fund flows, yes, we've seen fund flows to stocks dipping in the third quarter, perhaps one of the reasons why the Jakarta Stock Exchange Composite is a bit flat. But I've noticed that fund flows to bonds, Indonesian bonds, continue to remain resilient. From your experience, what do you think this is telling us at the moment? And is this a trend that actually holds water?
It's an interesting dichotomy, you know, because this year to date, we have actually had a 100 basis point cut in interest rates. And yet, given the volatility we have seen externally and, you know, US dollar and China trade war, etc., the rupiah has been relatively very stable year to date. So this has largely been helped by the bond inflows into the government yield, you know, government bonds, and yields have been quite attractive. And relative to other emerging markets. And it's quite interesting that the 10-year yields were actually very close to dipping below the 7% yield for the very first time in the last 3 years, and before it actually quickly rose above that number. So it just shows, you know, investors are still very attracted to government bond, Indonesian government bonds. But on the equity, universe, I think investors sold off given the lukewarm response on earnings growth year to date, and I think, you know, what would actually change their minds would be when, you know, they start seeing some of the soft reforms that Jokowi spoke about going into the elections being executed, and that will be the catalyst.
Okay.
Hopefully in 2020.
Now, you talked about the rupiah, and I did notice that it has strengthened naturally over the last year. For people who don't pay close attention to the Indonesian currency, and the Bank of Indonesia actually says that they see the rupiah at about 14,000 to the dollar to 14,400. Is this a similar view from Aberdeen Standard Investments? More stability for the rupiah moving into next year, also?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty, you know, very similar view, but my range will be a lot tighter, and I'm actually looking at more the 1400 level. Rather than the 14,400 or, you know, a slight depreciation from here. And what's going to drive this is basically, you know, further interest rate cuts by Indonesian central bank to spur up the economy and GDP growth. And what's really, it's a nice tailwind for this is the fact that oil prices remain relatively quite low and quite stable. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, the rupiah will continue to remain quite stable as we go into 2020.
So 1400 for the rupiah, possibly or around that particular level heading to 2020. We'll have to leave it there. Mr. Bharat Joshi from Aberdeen Standard Investments, we thank you again for joining us and spending some time to talk about the Indonesian markets with us here on Across the ASEAN.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.